Hello, everyone. I'm a patient advocate who assists in healthcare navigation and communication. And in these bi-weekly segments, I like to take my followers on some sort of thought-provoking journey. It may be about the emotions of caregiving or the evolution of healthcare and how it's delivered. It might be about the hidden costs of healthcare. Might be about healthcare and how it's marketed to us. Or about aging and the ism, or how to best age as a solo ager. Today, I'm bringing a bit of did you know information about something I will take a guess is in nearly everyone's home. Plastic prescription pill bottles. In our daily lives, you and I encounter a common item, and it seems harmless, but it holds significant environmental consequences. These little amber containers, widely used in the healthcare industry, contribute to a staggering amount of plastic waste generated globally. Thus, they and we contribute to a carbon footprint, to use an increasingly familiar term. A carbon footprint is a total greenhouse gas, GHG emissions, caused directly or indirectly by an individual, organization, event, or product. These prescription pill bottles carry a footprint, and so do we. Our own footprints might be emissions from driving our cars, or that Briggs & Stratton engine that's strapped onto your lawnmower, or grilling a steak, because charcoal emits gases as well. Plastic carries a lot of emissions potential, and as you begin to think about this, that's why the plastics and recycling industries want to make us more mindful of this. Did you know that the average person produces 4 tons of carbon dioxide each year? That's the very stuff that is a greenhouse gas and causes our climate to warm. The healthcare industry is a very carbon-intensive service sector, representing 4 to 5% of global emissions, with 5 billion plastic bottles used in the United States every year. This will be one of the easiest ways that any healthcare provider or patient can help lower their carbon footprint. The plastics industry is all over this. There's monitoring of emissions per foot industrially, and companies or industries who go over certain emissions limits will be fined. So everybody's looking at this emissions reduction for a lot of different reasons. This whole segment began when I was just staring at my little amber prescription bottle. You know, they have such familiarity as a household item. So I thought I'd better dispense the information that I found today. I hope it's not too much to swallow. The history of these little amber bottles is really quite interesting. You know, earlier in our history, the druggist's bottles were made of glass. Thousands of bottles were used and no labeling required. Folks went to their druggist who might be compounding these or making these remedies. Everything from bitters to cures to purifiers they were sold. Finally, there were embossed bottles that could contain warnings and poisons. And so, in the household non-food category, there were still some okay things put in the bottles for external human use, like witch hazel or denatured alcohol. The labeling actually began in 1706 because of a law, the Pure Food and Drugs Act. And soon it was bolstered by the Shirley Amendment that prohibited false claims about drugs that were dispensed. Now you'll get a kick out of this. All that had to be done to the bottles to make them legally dispensed, was to remove the word cure and sell it as a remedy. Now, please note that I'm not throwing our pharmaceutical industry under the bus, mind you. We do need our innovation and we need our medications, no doubt. But the patient advocate and marketer in me finds it interesting that there were marketing and labeling initiatives that were alive and well back in the 1700s that required packaging and marketing to be within the law. Also known back in the 1700s was that colored containers prevented a reaction with light, which might alter the substance. And so we saw those blue and amber glass products come into play. Now, picture in your mind the little multicolored bottles that you've seen in our history readings, red and blue and black and green and amber. Red was the best, but amber was the least expensive to produce. So bottles would often, in those days, have to include cotton to cushion whatever powdery or breakable pills there may be. And that carried over between the glass industry and the use of plastic bottles. Now, in modern time, the pills are coated, and though that means that the inclusion of that cotton ball is no longer necessary, they probably attracted and held moisture anyway. The move from glass to plastic in pharmaceuticals. You know, plastics really begin to enter our lives in the 1950s, right after World War II. And over time, plastics has replaced many glass items, such as milk containers or baby bottles, even druggist bottles. Innovative solutions are emerging to address our usage and reliance on plastics, and thus the emissions issue as well, and to pave the way for something that's more sustainable in the future of healthcare. The issues with plastics, especially in healthcare, make it a prime place to introduce change. The healthcare industry is a very carbon-intensive sector, representing 4.5% of the global emissions. Think about the last time that you or a loved one may have been an inpatient. Can you recall a lot of plastic being used? With 8 billion plastic bottles used in the United States every year, this has got to be one of the easiest ways for healthcare to lower their carbon footprint. Our healthcare industry, particularly our pharmaceutical sector, is a major contributor of global carbon emissions. With the ubiquitous single-use pill bottles being a significant part of the problem. Every year, about 8 billion plastic pill bottles are used in the United States alone, contributing to pollution and environmental degradation. The bottles are typically made of non-biodegradable polypropylene plastic, and they end up in landfills, releasing harmful microparticles and toxins into our environment. Prescription pill bottles in the U.S. are that the ones made of polypropylene. Because of their size, 90% of these are never recycled. The problems may lie in the metal sorting devices or operations used in neighborhood recycling stations and small cottage industries. Smaller items that are the size of pill bottles drop through the holes of a lot of devices, and they're rejected and then sent to the dump. There's a lot of innovation and solution ahead. You know, Target flipped the medicine bottle design on its head in 2005 when it introduced a red container with its opening at the bottom. That allowed the label to wrap around the top so it could be seen from above. It included a flat surface that customers found easier to read rather than the curve of their amber pill bottle. And it came with color-coded rings that would go around the neck, and that would help family members to quickly tell their medicines apart. The cap was on the bottom. Now, many customers reported that the red Target bottles were easier to locate, to find. Some reported that the red bottles were easier to open. The problems arose, though, when patients began to pour their medicines from their traditional amber bottles into the that had the instructions, the dosage on the side. They'd put them in old Target bottles just to be able to find them more easily. The result there, as you can guess, were mistakes in taking medication. So there's change ahead for us in our amber bottles. You know, the industry leaders involved in innovation all agree that we're entering a massive environmental challenge with global warming, and an opportunity to persuade us customers to switch to something more sustainable for usage and for packaging. You know, if you are an engineer these days in packaging or plastics or environmental concerned industry, then healthcare is no doubt a very exciting career for you. Now here's a look at the innovations that we're seeing. And projection here from 2016 to 2021, we Americans used we received our medicines by mail. 35% more Americans went to mail order. Drug market is expected to grow by almost 19% per year between 2022 and 2030. That's some growth, y'all. Enter a startup company called Cabinet Health, whose founders believe that the healthcare industry can't ignore a waste stream that's literally endangering humans' well-being. As customers increasingly switched to mail order drug services, the company saw an opportunity to make that transition sustainable and to eliminate single-use products. Cabinet Health launched the first refillable and compostable prescription service, whereby it will send medicines in bio-based pill pouches that naturally decompose in the backyard. Once empty, the pouches can be composted. They call it in your classic worm bin, is what the company says. For city residents, they can be compostable in municipal programs. Cabinet Health also has partnered with a company called Lomi, who builds a small composting machine brand designed for the kitchen. So in a Lomi, a pouch can be turned into usable soil within a few days. Currently, Cabinet has 150 drugs on offer, and that's about 80% of the most commonly dispensed oral medications. By mid-2024, this year, it aims to go from 150 prescription drugs to more than 800 drugs. And they're going to include liquid medications and birth control dispensing, both of which need a different formulation of the original pouch they designed. Now, what about paper? Another solution comes in the form of a paper pill bottle. This alternative, now designed, is 100% compostable, biodegradable, and it meets FDA regulations for durability, water resistance, and child resistance. It has an open source design. By that I mean anybody can order this design. And it allows a pharmacy to fill prescription tablets and capsules in these containers that are eco-friendly. Finding a coating that would be water resistant in the bathroom was their biggest challenge, and they found the solution in beeswax. But paper needs folding and some sort of way to seal. And what about these child-proofing concerns? Another innovative company, Tikkun Olam Makers, designed a paper pill bottle that's 100% compostable, biodegradable, meets the FDA regulations for water, light, and child resistance. When the bottle's empty, it can be composted, adding more value to the soil without leaving behind any harmful waste. It's available to any pharmacy for filling prescription tablets and capsules. Once used, then emptied, this paper bottle can be put into any compostable bin along with its label to decompose and be reused as fertilizer, to safely replenish the soil in our fields and gardens and landscapes. Man, if you're an engineer, you got to be on top of the world hearing about stuff like this. It's an exciting time. So will this new packaging be a bitter pill to swallow? Will Americans take to it? Knowing what we know about colored plastic preventing damage of products from light, you know, America first resisted the colored milk cartons. One distributor introduced some light blue ones a few years back. They saw an immediate drop in sales, and they returned to the translucent ones that the customers seem to prefer. We do see some yellow ones these days, but most of us are still encountering the lighter, more translucent, or clear ones. America also wasn't wild about those 2005 Target red bottles and the cap on the bottom. Will we conform to the new for ourselves, for our carbon footprint, and for our environment? It'll be interesting to see how all this rolls out. And you and I will be here to embrace, to watch it all. The entire packaging industry is going to follow suit, either because it's the right thing to do, it better protects the product and it travels, it saves space, is more easily used by the consumer, or to avoid those fines for exceeding a carbon footprint allowance. So what can we do? How do we do our part? You know, back to the little guy now, the consumer. What can you and I do right now? Well, there's repurposing. Have you ever used one of the little amber prescription bottles for other purposes? Of course you have. Your reuse becomes before recycle. And there's a way to reuse a prescription bottle. That's great. Great places to hold pins, you know, bobby pins, straight pins, safety pins, push pins, beads, cotton swabs, nails and tacks and buttons and more. You can make a portable sewing kit. It's perfect for making our housing our own travel shampoo and lotion and conditioner. I bet you can find thousands of ideas on Pinterest to repurpose our little amber friends. More about recycling, though. 4 billion prescriptions are filled by Americans every year. And then there's the over-counter medications for everything from a headache to creaky joints to your daily vitamins. Your prescription bottle, that little amber bottle doled out at just about every American at some point in their lives, is made of polypropylene or number 5 plastic. Haulers that accept plastics will accept 1 through 7, and they'll accept your prescription bottles in your curbside bin. There are some tips and to-dos here, however. First and foremost, please remove all your personal information. In general, peel the label off. I have to scrape mine. Rinse the bottle with warm and soapy water and allow it to dry, and put the cap back on and toss it in your recycle bin. Now, some pharmacies actively promote return programs for return of bottles for recycling. Publix has it all over their website. In fact, Publix recycles their stock bottles, the ones you see on the shelves behind the counter when you go to the pharmacy. Your city or municipality may have information on their website, instructions specifically about recycling programs, so take a look at the website. I recently called my own pharmacy, and they don't have a recycling program such as Publix. So making this video, writing this blog, making this podcast is my little way of contributing to or making a dent into our carbon footprints. There are charitable organizations that get involved with repurposing and recycling. You can send prescription bottles to a ministry called Matthew 25 Ministries out of Ohio, and other ministries will either shred or recycle and after they sanitize the bottles and send them to places where medical supplies are needed. In another conversation, and it's a whole nother conversation, if you have unused medication, do not flush it down your toilet. And contribute to the greater water issues we already have. Don't throw it in the trash. Check with your local police department. Maybe they have a drug take-back program. Speak to your local pharmacy. See if they have a disposal system in place. I read that some Walgreens stores have a safe medication disposal kiosk that's in place all the time. I think a place that you can take unused medication if your prescriptions are changed by your provider, or expired medication at no cost year-round kiosks, and I think CVS may have a similar program in some stores. So as consumers, there are steps that we can take to contribute to a more sustainable healthcare system. Recycling the plastic bottles is a start. Be sure to remove your personal information. By supporting such sustainable options, we can collectively reduce the environmental impact of the pharmaceutical industry and thus our own healthcare industry. So it's time to dispense with the old and welcome the new. I'm really trying to keep the puns to a minimum here, y'all. The redesign of the Humble Pill bottle signifies a crucial step toward a more sustainable and eco-friendly healthcare industry. As consumers, we do hold the power to drive change by supporting innovations that prioritize our planet's well-being. Whether through recycling, reusing, repurposing, or embracing new sustainable alternatives, every action contributes to a healthier future for both individuals and the environment. So it's time to dispense with the old and welcome a new era. My prescription for you and for me is to notice. Think. Call this kind of thinking to the fore. Support the innovation as you see it and adapt to the change and even propone it to others. You know, I always try to leave you guys with good table talk. Now, before I finish, I wanted to share with you some marketing head scratchers that I found in my research for this segment. You know, because I find humor and horror, and because I recognize the strategy, good and bad, used in healthcare marketing, I'm going to add this little section. I'm wondering if consumers really will take the change because we're a finicky bunch. And so there's going to be some interesting marketing coming out. And it'll be interesting to see who drives it, where it comes from. Also, I'm wondering if we're going to now need thousands of new pharmacy printers able to generate the dosage instructions and the warnings. I'm wondering if we can reconfigure the existing printers, or will they now have to go to the landfill? Hey, I worry. In my research for this segment, I read an article entitled, "Women-Founded Medication Packaging Startup Pilots Sustainable Prescription." Hello, y'all. Women invent things every day. Focusing on the title of the article, as women introducing something spectacular, and not so much the spectacular thing that was introduced, to me, that screams objectification of women's abilities. You know, my strong hunch is that a man did not write that headline. All right, your final dispensation. The market for change I've been talking about can be extended in the future in healthcare. We can roll out what I've covered today to existing markets and more. And that's going to be huge. When we expand it to include more sustainable packaging offerings for prescriptions and medications, we can make that further. Injectable packaging, the packaging for liquids, then on to shippers and secondary packaging within pharmacy operations. For instance, have you ever witnessed those big plastic totes that arrive at the pharmacy from the distribution center? You know, there's vans on the highway loaded with totes. There could be space and cost savings at hand here, too, and less vans on the road. There's also a huge need for non-plastic sustainable packaging in the over-the-counter or vitamin space. Anytime you walk into the drugstore, or next time you walk into the drugstore and specifically seek out those 2+ aisles of wellness products, all in plastic, take a look. It's concerning, but it's also exciting because there's opportunity here for great change. Wouldn't you agree? So, don't you like to have options and feel more in the know? The next time you have one of our little amber friends here, all in plastic, think about it. It's concerning, but it's exciting. You know, talk to your friends, have this conversation that we had today, join in the innovation, and as they say, for all the right reasons. To your good health, everybody, and to that of our planet.